I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. And I don't mind telling you, I am thrilled that the guys at BBS Radio are back on their feet and we're able to broadcast again. And much appreciation and gratitude to my ET Yoga listening audience. And nice to have you back as well. Tonight's program is going to be jam-packed with information as usual, so you're probably going to need a pad, pencil, or something to keep notes on if you want to do some research later on lots of information that's going to be coming your way. I started off with a central theme this week of ascension. It's filled into 5G, the Mandela effect, scientific discoveries, all kinds of stuff coming to mind, and I'm just chomping at the bit to get at it. So I'd like to kick off the show in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga. It's a bit of a tribute to Sri Swami Satchidananda, who will be leading it. And it's all about a little bit of mantra repetition, and it sets the tone for the rest of the program. And if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari, 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 Om.
Hari, 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 Om.
like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for those new listeners to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And that's in keeping with developing your own self-empowerment, for taking responsibility for creating excellent health, and for also learning ways and means whereby you can also take care of issues as they arise. Notwithstanding emergency situations where I take my hat off to the people in the medical field for the astounding work that they do in that regard. I'd like to also really give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you, because you're already making the optimum difference in this world just by being you, and others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. And speaking of doing your passion, I love doing ET Yoga. And I started out with an idea for this week of talking about ascension. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he asked me a question. He said, do I believe that the universe was created from thought, or is it a computer simulation? And my answer was both. From my experience of being in the void, in that state of consciousness prior to creation, there's an internal polarization that takes place, and then there's the creation, and that's the natural order of things. It's like we're all divine sparks, and it's like the spirit or consciousness at that level wants to know itself. And there's kind of a feedback loop of information from each of us and our own experiences. And of course, that's all recorded in the Akashic record, which is kind of like the mind of God in a way. And I should also point out that I came across this week an interesting YouTube presentation from Nassim Haramine, and that's NassimHaramine. Nassim Haramine. And of course, he's got lots of theories out there about how the universe works. And this one that I really enjoyed was called Latest Discoveries: The Inner Workings of Our Holographic Fractal Universe. And he does talk about the looping effect there of information. And I really liked another one of his concepts that he kind of made a little improvement on Einstein, as he says that he doesn't call it the time-space continuum. He calls it the memory-space continuum. And the reason he does that is because if you don't have memory of one event existing before or after another, then you don't have time. And I think you might find it a very fascinating look at. And that would be on a YouTube. And then I'm talking a little bit further about wanting to get into ascension. And I came across a show on Beyond the Veil. It was an interview with George Casavellis. And that's Kassavilles. And I think he's really worth the look. As well, got some really on-point ideas concerning the heart and how it basically overrides everything else. And also, he's got a good concept of higher self. And I really think that a lot of his information is worth a look at. I did find some things that I do want to note, though, with respect to the ET Yoga perspective on a few things that were mentioned in that interview, along with the announcers of that program. And one of the things they talk about was what they called ascension deception. And they kind of made a mockery of the ascension process, in my opinion. And the definition they were using was that they didn't see any possible way that everybody living on the planet was all of a sudden going to, you know, move into the fifth dimension. And I don't know, not my understanding of ascension. Of course, I guess everybody has their own take on it. And certainly everybody will have their own personal experience. But my thinking is that, you know, this is a concept, the whole idea of ascension, many people don't even know about. And to my way of thinking, I've mentioned on ET Yoga before, I think the first thing to me is to know of the possibility. And if you know of the possibility, and then you also have the inclination to want to be a part of that program that moves from this dimension into the fifth dimension in the new earth, then that's something that everybody has that choice to do. But a lot of people do not wish that choice. So it's not going to be, the majority of mankind that's shifting. And the latest numbers that I hear are somewhere around 600,000 or so, notwithstanding a lot of young souls, young kids who have come here from other star systems to help us with the frequency of the planet, who would also be accompanying those who would be in the ascension process. And another slight was made to the study of the chakra system. Well, in my estimation, the study of the chakra system, I've traced it back as far as even the Essene culture, which taught an integral yoga system almost identical to the system that Sri Swami Satchidananda taught in the last, 50 years or so. But this was taught around the time of zero in our time span, and or 2,000 years ago. And it's almost identical, except it also had a yoga called Laya Yoga, L-A-Y-A, which was a study of the chakra system. And one of the reasons that they give for kind of dissing the study of the chakra system was that it was like part of the matrix programming. Well, using my definition of matrix programming would be programmed that of what you think you need, some program that try to tell you what you think you need to do and be, or what the culture says you need to think and be. And in that regard, I clearly would draw a line between a program such as religion, which to my mind does not lead to self-realization of any sort. In fact, it's not even a concept that is included in organized religion. The whole idea of a chakra system and a yoga system leading to self-realization, to me, is certainly not analogous to what they would call a matrix programming. And further to that, I would like to refer people to Solara on Ra. That's S-O-L-A-R-A, Solara on A-N Ra, R-A. And her latest Pleiadian video, which is activating your 13 chakras. And to me, this is really exceptionally well done, right on point, and it's topped off with an activation of the 13th, or the heart chakra, which is consistent with Cassavelas's perceptions. And thus also there's some synchronicity between the two philosophies. And in my personal opinion, since at the days of Atlantis, utilizing the yoga systems in India, yoga systems in particular, dealing with the chakra system. There have been more enlightened beings coming from India, in my opinion, than the rest of the planet put together. So that would be the ET Yoga take on that. Also, there was another slam to people who were on vegetarian vegan diets in particular. And I don't know. I mean, it's not my place to judge anybody who chooses to be an omnivore, one who eats plants and animals. But there's no doubt in my mind some of the reasons why I choose not to be involved with meat eating would be that it's certainly a lower frequency vibration than the plant kingdom. And not only that, but I totally agree with Teal Swan when she says that reducing suffering on this planet and eating meat are contradictory concepts. And I really think that's, that point is right on. Not to mention that I guess Teal is a bit of a psychic herself, and from the people's auras she reads, the vegetarians clearly have a higher frequency than the meat eaters. Not that I think that there's necessarily any spiritual hierarchy with respect to if you do or if you don't. Apparently, Hitler was a vegetarian, so I mean, there's, you know, it's a moot point on that count. However, clearly, Teal also makes the point that when anything develops an internal nervous system, there's a resistance to death, and then there's this fear and definitely suffering. They were trying to make the point that the animal kingdom was comparable because the plants also have feeling. But I'd say I would have to point out that if you're born in this world, unless you're born in a civilization that can live off light, and you're faced with making a choice as to which would be the best choice, to me, clearly, it would be the least of the suffering. We know how they're treating animals these days, and clearly, this is not anything even resembling what the native Indians used to do with their ceremonies and giving thanks and gratitude for their taking what they needed from the buffalo. No, we're talking about a total disgrace as what's going on this planet with respect to how we treat the animals. And I in no way, shape, or form would ever think that in a 5D Earth that we're going to be running around killing animals for food. So just to give you the ET Yoga point of view on that, not to mention that according to Patricia Corey and her channeling of the Assyrians, they've stated that after you have six strands of DNA connected, your body will even reject meat. So, and that's also consistent with my perspective that there are not self-realized beings going around who are meat eaters. And the last point that I wanted to make was when they were slamming ETs, because apparently during certain ayahuasca experiences, and it was concluded that since some of these ETs, particularly the archons, could basically shapeshift and take any form that they wanted, that there weren't any positive ETs. Well, to me, that's just ludicrous, because, I mean, I don't think anybody would have a problem with thinking this through. Just because somebody has the ability to copy another being doesn't mean that that being doesn't exist. And I'll tell you one thing I know for a fact. If it wasn't for positive ETs, we'd have blown ourselves up a long time ago. I mean, we're being helped daily, constantly, from positive extraterrestrial influences on this planet. And again, that's the ET Yoga perspective. I'd also like to move into some information that came from Abraham, who is channeled by Esther Hicks. And if you have done any studying of Abraham and Esther Hicks, and also Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. You know that a lot of their teachings definitely coincide. And Abraham's got some new information out concerning events along the ascension path. And this really touched a spot for me because it was pretty obvious to me that this ascension process, it's in the making as we speak. I mean, it's happening. And one of the things that we need to be aware of is that it will be possible for people in the third dimension to take their physical bodies to the fifth dimension. They'll need to raise their frequencies in order to do this, and clearly everyone won't be able to, but it's definitely right in the realm of the possibilities, and Abraham also confirms this. And I think this is really ties in with the other information I've presented on the program before, that the process of doing this is changing our carbon-based systems into crystalline. And and how is this done? It's done through the waters. It's done through the waters of the body. And this also links up with Masaru Emoto, and that's M-A-S. URO, Masaru Emoto, E-M-O-T-O. And if you haven't checked out Masaru Emoto, like go to YouTube and just punch in his name, Masaru Emoto, and you're going to find a whole list of YouTube videos that are just, well, they're mind-boggling when you first come across them, because what it basically proves is that the actual structure of water is changed, the molecular structure is changed by emotion, and positive emotions create these beautiful crystalline structures, and negative emotion creates these ugly looking molecules. And this has been proven. And if you can't prove it to yourself by seeing the proof of it, then there is no proving it to you. And the interesting part here is that clearly we're made up mostly of water as well. So our emotions also affect the water in our body. And one of the things that's really important is that you drink pure water. You get rid of the fluoride. And one of the fastest ways to raise the vibration of a water supply is to put an Andara crystal in the water. That's A-N-D-A-R-A, Andara crystal. I suspect any crystal will do, but like Andara is the highest frequency crystal on the planet. So I would highly suggest utilizing the Andara. And if I have time permitting tonight, I'm going to go into some more detail about Andara crystals. And the other thing that is really a fascinating tie-in to all this is how the powers that be are trying to mess with the ascension process. One of the ways they're doing this is through this rollout of the 5G. And if you haven't done any research, check out Joe Imbriano, I-M-B-R-I-A-N-O, Joe Imbriano. That's a good place to start. There's a number of other people as well who have pointed out the coincidence of the frequencies of 4G that mess with the water molecules in our body, as well as the 5G that messes with the oxygen cells. And it keeps the hemoglobin from bonding with the blood, and it will create reduced oxygenation, as well as the ramifications thereof. As we all know, a disease has a hard time existing in oxygenated body. The less oxygen we have, the less healthy we're going to be. It's going to also compromise our immune systems, as it also affects the ability for our bodies to absorb vitamin D from sunlight. And of course, the latest the geoengineering is apparently coming out in 2019, where they're going to be spraying some kind of sulfur dioxide to further limit sunlight from reaching the earth. And no wonder, because a lot of our DNA is being transformed through sunlight from the earth. And thus also the maximum way to max out on that is to be involved with sun gazing. And if you want to really read about the best information I know of on that topic, you go to Hira Ratan Manik. That's H-I-R-A Ratan, R-A-T-A-N Manik, A-M-A-N-E-K. And to me, he's the best I know of in explaining the safe ways to go about doing sun gazing. And that's another way, by the way, to cure almost any physical ailment is through the process. You need to do your research on sun gazing. And anyway, all these things are really related because obviously the powers that be can't stop the ascension, but they're trying to throw a monkey wrench into it here and there. Clearly, this 5G setup is eugenics. It's going to totally affect the animal kingdom as well. And scientists from about 40 different countries have already put forth papers that we are telling about the dangers of the 5G system and its effects on humanity. But of course, we're not seeing this in any mainstream news. Apparently, there's $17 trillion have been already allocated and spent on setting up this 5G network, which to me is just a rollout of it's the rollout of tyranny. It's the rollout of the of artificial intelligence. And back to the original question I talked about was that with the respect to the creation, there's two ideas here that relate to that, and one is called prime radium. And that was an idea from Bashar, that the entire universe is one wave or particle that travels at infinite speed, has no mass, and thus breaks no laws of physics. And prime radium is a concept that I introduced about 10 years ago on ET Yoga. At that time, you couldn't find it anywhere on a Google search. But you probably can find it now. But very interesting theory along that line. And with respect to the other aspect of the simulation, yes, I do believe we operate in a simulation. And I think that that simulation is likely, it's like a computer program. It's like we're in a virtual reality computer, holographic computer program that's also fractal. But the key thing is that the language of interpretation is belief. And thus, what you believe is. And that is a point that I didn't see Nassim Haramein bring up, nor on this other show with George Cassavelis. They seem to be oblivious to the fact that regardless if we're living in the Matrix or the simulation or not, you can also use it to get out of it. And that's through your own beliefs, because it's your beliefs, it's your intentions, your emotions, your definitions that create the outward reality that you experience. And that is the most important principle of all, and why I actually got involved with calling ET Yoga the yoga of belief, because at its heart, ET Yoga is about self-realization, but it's also the main technique is belief, because what you believe is. I mean, all techniques are kind of like a permission slip to allow you to attain certain things. And the ones that you feel are the most powerful are the most powerful. Techniques kind of are up to the individual. But the core concept of ET Yoga, and the reason that I combined the yoga with ET is the amazing information that came from the yoga masters with respect to the concept of self-realization. And some of these beings, like Sri Ramana Maharshi, M-A-H-A-R-S-H-I, Sri Ramana, R-A-M-A-N-A, who, in my opinion, was a self-realized being, he has a book called The Path of Self-Knowledge. And people like him were obviously grew up in India around that particular culture. And to me, this is like amazing information, although we've come up with some enhanced information in a couple of areas from the classic yoga teachings. And one of them is the dis- discussion and the implementation of activating five chakras that exist outside the body, three above the head and two below your base chakra. So there's seven in the body, which is the traditional teachings, and then there's the five extra chakras. And those, from my understanding, first came about through the Pleiadian information from Barbara Marciniak. The first I came across it was of the 12 chakra system. And now she's clearly talked about the 13th or the heart chakra is overlaying the other 12. The idea being here that we were created to be almost like godlike. If you had 12 chakras and 12 strands of DNA fully activated, I mean, that's about as close to being self-realized as I would know how to make a formula. I guess the 13th chakra would be the kicker. So, unfortunately, way back a long time ago, we had our DNA manipulated, and that's why most people only function with two strands of DNA. So big difference between 2 and 12, also the difference of why we only utilize a certain limited portion of our brains compared to what our capacity is. I might add, unlike the dolphins who utilize 100% of their brains. At any rate, all these things kind of flow into one another, and as well, the Mandela effect. And here's how the Mandela effect fits into the ascension process. Now, there's a couple of there's more than one perspective on the Mandela effect. Number one is there are people that think that the Mandela effect is just a bunch of hooey, and like they don't understand what people are talking about anything being changed or different. Because they're from this timeline, and there hasn't been anything changed or different. It's the way it's always been. So from that perspective, they're correct. The only thing that they need to do is to have some compassion towards those of us who are from a different timeline, because there were two timelines that merged. And if you're from the old timeline, you are remember certain things, events, occurrences that happened in that timeline that are completely different from this current timeline, and some of the residual effects are still there. And if you study about the Mandela effect and go through and actually, you know, do some research, you'll see that many of the people that are experiencing the Mandela effect, they can't make any sense of it, because they know that it's not about bad memory. I mean, a lot of people think it's all confabulation of bad memory and people just don't remember things properly. No, it's not about that. When millions of people remember the same thing, it's not about, you know, any mistake here. And there's lots of physical proof of some of these residual effects. In fact, if you want to do some research, go look up on YouTube, I found the old Earth Mandela effect, or Our Place in the Universe, Carl Sagan. And what you're going to see here is that the old Earth timeline, one of the things that you'll notice if you haven't had a Mandela effect is to go and look at a globe and see the location of South America. If it doesn't look weird to you, then maybe you're from this timeline. But if you're from the old timeline, you're going to notice it's about 1,900 miles east of where it was on the old Earth. And you'll also see from Carl Sagan, who was one of the top scientists on the planet, talking about our place in the universe as being on the outer edge of the Milky Way galaxy. That's where Earth in this place is in the universe. And that's from the old timeline. If you look on the new timeline, you'll see we're closer to the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And another big thing that has happened is there's been changes in the physical anatomy as well from one timeline to the other. The differences are changes in the heart, where the location of the heart is more towards the center. It's more lined up now with your crown chakra. The rib cage is different. Your shoulders are different. The spine, the organs, the blood, the cellular structure, the skin, and perception. These are all physical things that are different and actually better in this timeline. So if you're actually from this timeline, you automatically got those benefits. They were already here, but if you're changing from the old timeline or into this one, then these are all like upgrades. and there are upgrades that will help in raising your frequency and helping you in the ascension process. So if you happen, you're one of the ET Yoga listeners out there, you've had the Mandela effect, you get it. Maybe what you don't get is the reason why there was the Mandela effect is it's part of the ascension process. And there have been two timelines that merged. The best guy I know that gives a good description of this is Adronis. That's A-D-R-O-N-I-S. He's a Syrian, channeled through, I think it's Chris Johnson. But if you look up Adronis, A-D-R-O-N-I-S, and Mandela Effect, you'll be able to make the connection here that there have been has been a merging of two timelines. And this is huge because we're talking about raising our frequencies and making it so that we can move up to the 5D level actually and take the 3D body along as well. And to me, this is really this is huge information. And how the Mandela effect fits into this the whole scenario. I'd like to now kind of shift gears a little bit because I talked about these Andara crystals, and you know, I've had more people write to me about the Andara crystals than probably any other topic. And I'll give you a brief description, of them. And the reason people are contact me about them is because this is just amazing. They're definitely here to help us with raising our frequencies, and that's the whole ball of wax here. It's called do the Pleiadian Pillar of Light and spinning techniques. And if you don't know about those, every so often on the program, I will. Give an explanation of that. I'm not tonight due to lack of time, but you can also get them by going to my website, etyoga.com, and my ebooks contain, there's two ebooks there, the Maximizing Your Spiritual Growth and Attaining Perfect Health for the Spiritual Seeker. Both those two ebooks, one of them has the, as described, includes several techniques. Pillar of Light, Pleiadian Spinning, Pranayams, Complete Breathing Program, as taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda, also the Merkaba Technique, and the XYZ, Extraterrestrial Meditation, which is designed to expand consciousness. Those are all in those tapes. And I guess while I'm plugging that, I might as well plug my latest book. It's called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. And if you like condensed information like you're getting on this show, you'll like the book because it's like buying 30 other books. It's all condensed down into 300 pages of information. Moving on to these Andara crystals. Andara crystals are the highest vibrational crystals on the planet because they contain and are found in and around Primamatra deposits, which is a combination of monatomic trace minerals, natural and not listed on the periodic table of elements. The elements are there and they're known, but they're not accepted because modern science is still testing. Yeah, well, that's fine. They can test all they want. Some of the attributes attributed to the Andaras are they allow access to higher dimensions of consciousness. They'll open and cleanse each chakra. They will produce healing vibrations. They're truly from another world. Increase access to universal knowledge, accelerate your spiritual development. Best crystal for giving one the ability to channel. Detoxify any form of negativity. Used as an ascension tool for spiritual advancement. Reduce thought processes, which makes it easier to channel. May have light refractions for channeling positive energy. And also dramatically expand sensory perception to assist in information beyond the normal senses. And most of all, the Andaras aid in the ability to manifest your life's chosen ideas or dreams. And they're also powerful healers and inner self activators. And they are ancient healing crystals that have been around for many centuries and have been used in the healing temples of Atlantis and Lemuria. Being heliocentric, meaning they absorb and reflect light, the Andara crystal tends to draw the individual's consciousness into the center of the energy spiral within. And when you gaze into the crystal, this brings about the person's consciousness more in harmony with that of the Andara crystal. And some really interesting concepts, too, about just generally about crystals from Teal Swan. And she talks about the fluorite crystal, and that's F-L-U-O-R-I-T-E. And according to Teal, Cancer has a very rapid non-cohesive pattern or frequency. And fluorite has a very coherent and grounding frequency. Two incoherent frequencies cannot exist in the same space because it is not an energetic match. Arthritis and cancer, for example, will have to change its frequency to that of the fluorite, and then the manifestation will also change. Thus, the ailment must cease to exist. Physical reality must match the energetic reality which is creating it. Crystals and gemstones are free of resistant patterns. When you touch or look at a crystal, you are in training with the crystal on the other dimensions in which you and the crystal exist. This changes your physicality and structure in the physical dimension. And when you share space with a crystal which has a resistant-free vibration, your energy will entrain with that of the crystal. And this is why people are emailing me about their success with the Andara crystal, because they're putting it under their pillows, and their dream world kind of takes a 100% boost in a positive direction. Should also point out that according to Thoth, that's T-H-O-T-H, the Andara is the name to identify Prima Matra crystals. And this find in California was originally seeded for Prima Matra by those we call the Time Walkers, in conjunction with high devas mythologically depicted as unicorns. Approximately 2,000 years after the interdimensional implosion, a Lemurian temple complex was raised on this site, and the name of which was Andara, meaning light of beauty and perfection. The primary purpose of this complex was in working with the Prima Matra powders, crystals, and water on the land. And one of the temples in this complex was dedicated to the ancient archetype known to the Egyptians as Sekhmet, that's S-E-K-M-E-T, and the Assyrians as Ishtar, that's I-S-H-T-A-R. And while Andara was originally a Lemurian colony, those who participated in the Andara complex became their own race. By this we mean that through their purposeful interaction with the Prima Matra, they transmuted their crystalline DNA, becoming a highly futurized form of human, being even more developed in their light matrix than the Lemurians of that age. And thus, their colonists advanced from Lemurians to Andarians. The Andara crystals were formed inside a no-time hyperfield, creating within them a kinesthetic continuum. And this is a continuum that allows a moving time field within the elemental and the structural composition of the crystal formation. Understanding a kinesthetic continuum would involve a complex dissertation in an area of science that, according to Thoth, is not known to you. Thus, we will touch on its most basic understanding of it here. In essence, this K-continuum does not align to a natural polarity, but instead phase matches directly with the universal light matrix or the golden net of Athena. Thus, utilizing the Andara crystals, one may interact with Athena's net. This net moves matter beyond the time barriers. Access to Athena's net allows soul matter units integration with future forms of spirit matter. Thus, the Andara crystals contain the most concentrated charge of the monofield, hyperfield, and kinesthetic continuum. In this respect, they are even more potent than the Prima Matra powders. In addition, they are also very resonant with the Alpha and Omega of ancient days, the Omega being the remaining of the Alpha, which fused with the Andara crystals formed in the event. And I guess that event they're talking about, that there was a touching of the third and sixth dimension. The Alpha and Omega of ancient days contained a powerful interdimensional black hole. The Alpha version was in receipt of the black hole, but the Omega conforms and contains the latter-day black hole frozen in your space-time. The Andara crystals, while not containing black holes themselves, do resonate with the sentience of the Ancient of Days that had been absorbed into their hyperfield. Understand that there is a sentience within the Ancient of Days Omega crystal. This sentience is more ancient than your comprehension could possibly conceive, other than to call it eternal. Like Merlin in his magic cave, this sentience has been frozen in your time-space. The sentience of the Ancient of Days is an enlightened source of consciousness, and it comes from the galaxy of Andromeda and was drawn into the hyperfield by the tremendous warping zone that occurred when the third and sixth dimensions touched, or more aptly, collided. So this whole thing about, you know, Andara crystals is just, I mean, it's just, it is off the planet. And the interesting thing about Andara crystals is you think you pick them, but no, they pick you. And trust me, it's a consciousness, and it's an advanced consciousness. And some of the ways that you can use these crystals, I mean, I think the easiest one is just, you know, put one under your pillow at night. And amazingly, even looking at pictures of them on the internet, you can get an effect from them just from looking at their pictures. And you can place the Andara crystals on your chakras. All kinds of possibilities. In fact, if the Andaras are spun or vibrated at a high rate of speed, their anoatomic powers will manifest. Anoatomic is what we call the power within the atom to transform into a Merkaba or vehicle of light. And this can be done both physically and etherically. And the Andara crystals are also heliocentric, meaning that they absorb and reflect physical light towards the center of their crystalline spirals. Without elaborating on the science of heliocentric vibration, we'll say here that this causes the Andaras to be very healing to gaze into while holding them in the sunlight. So lots of possible ways to utilize the Andara crystals. And I'm pleased to share that information from Thoth. And if you don't know about Thoth, that's another subject you could check and do. T-H-O-T-H. Definitely some amazing information there. In fact, he's even got some articles out on the safe way to take monatomic elements, Ethereum gold. So if you're interested in those kinds of subjects, you might want to check that out. I'll also pass on for those interested in the Philosopher's Stone that there will be a lunar eclipse on the 20th and 21st of January. The exact midpoint of that is midnight on January 20th of 2019. And if you go to Cosmic Awareness, Making the Philosopher's Stone, you'll get all the information you need about following up on how you might do it. And that's what they say is a hint to the wise is sufficient. I might point out that tonight's program, I certainly have tried to make a connection here, linking together ascension with the creative processes tying into it what's going on with the 5G network, also how it relates into the Mandela effect. And these are all, to me, just fascinating subjects. And I certainly, as usual, I wish my listeners my very best in towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And certainly, I wish you the best in your research on some of these topics, because they're all mind-boggling. It's an amazing time. There's so many positive things out there, and there's so many self-empowering people. And I might add, as another point to the beauty of the plant kingdom, that according to Dr. Pete Peterson, who has a machine that monitors the human body at the acupuncture point and makes an analysis of any problems in the body, and those he also is able to tell you what natural plant or herb or ingredient and in what quantity will heal that situation. And I'm a total believer in that whole process. And again, why the plant kingdom certainly wasn't put here by accident, having all those capabilities. I'm going to close the program now by sharing with you the Who Am I technique. As I've pointed out in the past, the Who Am I technique was first came across that through Baba Ram Dass. And he had an article in a paper up in Vancouver, British Columbia, called the George Strait. And first time I did it, I went through the doorway and stayed there for about a week. So it can be a very powerful technique. And the way you do it is that you place all your attention in the center of your forehead and you become that spot. And that's it. You just are that spot. And you can ask the question then, who am I? And you can do that a few times or one time, whatever is comfortable for you. See what feelings and sensations you get. And when you've got your full attention totally focused there, I would suggest doing this after you're already in the highest place you know how to get to. And then you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of